Good evening and welcome, friends, dear friends. Your presences are always a great blessing, and to see your faces on the screen just for a moment brings great joy to my heart. The Christ candle has been lit, again as a symbol that Christ is always with us. The fire is within us as a sensual being. Always through us and always in the world. So we gather together with a very powerful intention and attention. And this matters for one another and for the world, because we are building a great accumulator that has force, that is real, that we can draw upon. Both now and in life, and when we need it on those days when there seems to be little force. So in this season of the 50 days of Easter, today is Thursday in the sixth week of Easter, the Feast of the Ascension, a little known feast and rarely discussed by anyone. Though one that Thomas Keating spoke of in terms of that it now is Christ who is secretly at work in all creation, in the heart of all matter, and in fact in all things. Tonight's opening reflection will come from Psalm 19, and it will close with a statement from the Gospel of Matthew, which gives the profound meaning of the resurrection. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of God's hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message. No speech, no word, no voice is heard, yet their span extends through all the earth, their words to the utmost bounds of the world. There God has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent. Rejoices like a champion to run its course. At the end of the sky is the rising of the sun. To the furthest end of the sky is its course. There is nothing concealed from its burning heat. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age. And so it is. Amen. And as we begin, just a note that there are newer members in the Journey School. They're newer and studying the work, who would like to have a work partner. Ideally, they would be joined with someone who has had more experience, and both would share in the fruits of having the powerful lens of a mirror through which to work in this intimate way. So if you've been studying and practicing the work for a while and would be interested in having a work partner, please let me know. The commitment would be until the week of December 14th. So now let us prepare ourselves once again to receive, to listen deeply, and to move into our inmost being. To receive knowledge that our emotional center is enlivened with valuation, to have our bodies sense the truth and the goodness of what is being offered, and to receive all in order to manifest the Word in our flesh for all creation. So in all doing and preparation, we hand over the anxieties and small fears of the heart, knowing that they are known. We lay down our life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from us. We lay it down on our own. We stand unencumbered before God and one another. So during our time of Lectio Divina, we will be reading from today's message, the scripture passage from Luke. It will be read three times with a silent pause in between. And afterwards, there will be time to share what you have received for the benefit of all of us. And the angel said, "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. You have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth. Come upon you. The power of the highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Child of God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm here, wishing to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." And the angel said, "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. You have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Child of God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm here, wishing to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." And the angel said, "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. You have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Child of God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm here, wishing to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." Amen. You're now invited to share what you received from this passage. JC, please.
I heard, "Yes, I see it all now." And the message that the angel delivered to Mary felt like it was coming to each one of us individually. And through this journey together and working together and feeling the flow of it together, there is a surprise for us, and we are birthing something. We are birthing real I. And I see it all, from self-observation to non-identification to self-remembering, seeing the multiplicity, seeing the power of negative emotions, and seeing glimpses of real I. Just felt like that's what that passage was about, what we've been doing for the past couple of months. And I've felt so deeply connected to my journey group and to the community, even as we've had to be separate, that I see it all now, and I see that we will be back together in a new and different way, and all of us will be so changed, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be back in the sanctuary. We'll be back on the campus. We'll be back communicating with one another. And that fills me with joy right now.
I can feel that joy from you, JC. Thank you. Thank you. I know the truth of that. Lisa, please.
What I heard was, I'm here to serve, and what has been with me this week is, with the virus and with the world stopping, is that there are things in this world that I can't look away from any longer, and I have to really reflect on how I participate in the world and beyond my own little cocoon. And so I really, from the depth of my heart, want to open up and be available to serve the highest good in the way that Spirit sees me participating. So that is my prayer, my wish.
And so it is, Lisa. Thank you. Pam.
The first answer reminded me of the first two affirmations in Open Mind, Open Heart that were a shock to me initially about our intrinsic goodness. And it speaks volumes. And then later, it's what Meister Eckhart says about all of us birthing Christ within us, each one of us carrying Christ in our womb and birthing the Christ into the world. And especially at this time, we have huge opportunities to do this.
Thank you, Pam. Leslie, please.
Well, like JC and Pam, well, when you started reading, I thought, that is talking to me. And it was the first time I heard the enunciation like it was talking to me. And then I had a chance to read our weekly email this morning, and how this process of finding and becoming and experiencing and expressing real I is like pregnancy and birth. So like JC, I saw that as being pregnant and moving toward giving birth to real I, that Christ within. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Karen Raglan, please.
Well, I heard just as you say, and, you know, there's no and this, there's no negotiating, there's no but this or and this. What speaks to me there is the 100%-ness of it. And this is, it's one of my very favorite things about Mary is her consent. But this time I heard the depth of the 100%-ness of it when she says, just as you say, not any way else, no special anything, just as you say.
Amen. Thank you, Karen. It's good to see you. Greta, please.
I heard, I am here. And it reminded me of a true three-centered being, that Mary, in her physical body, in her emotions, in her awareness, there was a scintillation, a unification that allowed her to take what was being said deep into herself. Like when we become man number 4 or 5 or 6. Thank you.
Thank you, Greta. Thank you. Tamara, please.
Okay. What I thought about, and I want to make sure everyone can hear me. Sometimes the microphone changes. What I thought about was the connection between beauty and a new beginning. And what comes through us and makes it new is what is beautiful. The mechanicalness, the old patterns, that's what creates the frustration. It feeds the false personality. But I just kept thinking about the connection between beauty and what is new. And even if something external may not change, but the way I perceive it is new, that is beautiful.
Thank you, Tamara. Frank, please.
It was struck by the gentility that the angel showed, at the same time providing great clarity as to what he was telling her. But he was so gentle, starting with good morning. God has a surprise for you. The way he broke the news, it evinced a very solid, calm emotional center, as did his response. You know, I found it very heartening that God's angel could be so gentle in delivering a message that could be scary for some people to receive, but didn't bring any of that out.
Thank you, Frank. Duberly, please.
I was struck by the words, you're beautiful with God's beauty. And it's easy for me to see that in you all, like you said. Seeing everybody's faces is very nice. And the way you share, and that line comes, and I can see it in you. And I noticed that it's a little bit harder to put it on in myself, to say that to myself. And so maybe that's my prayer, that I can see the beauty I see in you, in myself too.
Well, you could show us your beauty and we could see it right now.
Let me do that.
Yeah, I see it right now. Thank you, Duberly. Mm-hmm. Well, as we close this part of our time together, may tomorrow morning we hear, good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty, as we wake up tomorrow. Thank you. And so now we'll move to this evening. We will move from the realm of negative emotions to real I, that which lies within us as original blueprint and potential. So I'm very pleased to introduce Pamela Begemann, who will take us on this journey of discovery. Pamela, please.
Thank you, Marianne. Hi, everybody. I miss seeing you all, and I really appreciate those that are showing their video. It's really wonderful to see you. I realize that since we've started the Journey School, there's something that I really miss when we used to be in the sanctuary together and when the class had a different format. And for those of you that used to sit in the sanctuary, you remember that we would start every class with the sign of the cross. And even if you've never made the sign of the cross, I invite you to do this with me now as a consecration of yourself for this work. And there's no right or wrong way to make the sign of the cross. But it's filled with an accumulator of sacredness, of tradition, capital T, of calling down help, and as Gurdjieff said, of marking anything that we begin anew in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity, in whom we live and move and have our being.
Some of you that have been in the work a while know of the aphorism, we come under more laws to come under fewer. And it's occurred to me lately that that aphorism has never been more true as it is now. There's never been a time that people know of where the whole world has been under more loss. That's an extraordinary, extraordinary thing. The question is what to do with that? What to do with being under more loss? As work students, we invite that. We invite that by living a rule of life intentionally, consciously. We invite coming under greater intention in the company of others. We are willingly seen in the company of others. And we make a commitment every day to get up and try again. So this homework this week on working with negative emotions came to me in that context. That under more laws, it's very easy under that, the pressure of more loss, to become negative, to despair, to lose hope. But as we've witnessed, even just with the sharing during Lectio Divina tonight, in this community, it's almost like we see things completely differently. We see the beauty and the joy, we see the possibility. We feel things moving and shifting. And what a gift it is to see with different eyes and to be different together. So a couple of things before we share the homework that I'd like to invite you to is to think about how you have been experiencing coming under more laws during this time and what has come up and how you've come to meet that, especially in regard to negativity. And as we share tonight, to try to keep the story out of it, because one of the things we talked about last week, and hopefully we all talked about in our journey groups, is it's not about the other, it's about what is arising within. So as you share, just share about your experience and your work and not the story about what happened or any of that. And another reason for that is we have so many people who would like to share that most weeks we leave hands up in the queue before we move on. And I'd like to give more people a chance to share tonight. And finally, if there's anything that you would like to work on real time, if there's some inner talking, something you're really struggling with it, raise your hand and work on it real time. Anchor it outside yourself in the eyes of this beloved community. Nicole did that to some extent last week, and I thought it was just beautiful. That's what this is for. I'm going to share on the screen and just review quickly the homework that was given, and then I invite your reflections. So if you recall, we were asked to observe our recurring negative emotions as a no to life, knowing that no one causes us to be negative, that we alone are responsible for what arises within. And we were asked to look at which negative energy pattern is arising now. What are you called to work with now? Where is your point in the work in regard to negative emotion? And to use one of the tools that was suggested or any others that work for you. And as always, and we seem to be emphasizing this more and more, is to work with delight and to take all of our experiences home into the beautiful light and love of God's presence. So what did you experience? What did you see? Nicole, we'll start with you. Thank you.
No, I was just saying this week has been the homework, I guess is what we call it, the AIM. It's been a great first conscious shock for me. And it all started with that, you know, that the, well, it was the verse or the verse that we read about all evil comes from within the heart. But Donald thankfully taught me once, if anything lands negative, then I get that. But it's a situation that's recurring. It's been my whole life. Now it says my internet is unstable.
You can stop your video, Nicole, and that will help.
That will, okay. Okay, so it's a relationship that, you know, I've worked with Tim and Peter and work partners, and it's a relationship I find somewhat maybe abusive, but it's been a dance. You know, I go inside my turtle shell and then I come back out until I'm stung again. Well, this was a week of great stinging. And yet it's a relationship I feel like I need to stay engaged in. And I got burned several times. You know, sharing with family and, you know, other people seeing it, it's like, from a worldly view, it's their fault. You know, the abuse is their fault. From our point of view, and the work says it's arising from within. I still, in my body, I still feel it. So what I did get to was inner stops, because what I realized was the moment happens and it passes. But I'm still negative. And I realized the moment's over, the abuse is over, but I'm still living it in my body, in my thoughts, in my emotions. It's still happening. And therefore, the person's not there. So obviously the negativity is arising from within. I get, you know, so it was like, wow. The tool, and I had this list that we had of tools we can use all week. Okay, wait, what can I use? And the one that, the only one, I don't think it was even there, but it was an inner stop. Just taking a moment of grounding myself in my body. I guess the, but it's still just so strong. And I guess it's just something I'm going to have to sit with. I don't, like it said, future memory. So you're going to go into this moment and re-engage with this person and have a future memory. So I tried that and I got stung again. And the problem is, you know, the quarantine's been great for me because I don't have to engage in this relationship face to face. But it's an elderly person who is quarantined, can't leave, and I do need to, I feel, I don't know if that's true, but they need help. She needs help. I need to engage somewhat because this is a hard situation for somebody living in assisted living or in, you know. Anyway, that's my struggle. I felt inner, you know, it says work with delight. This has not been a week of delight at all. I couldn't find any way of finding delight. The one thing that I can say is that it kept me awake because the negative emotions around it are so strong that I constantly feel it in my body.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are times it's like I went for a walk with my dog for like an hour listening to Taze music.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a moment of thank you. I owe you everything because I felt so close to the truth, mm-hmm. You know, and then it was beautiful. So it was like, thank you. But then it comes back. And I think a part of it too is I love quarantine. I'm not really a social person anyway. So, you know, this is like, okay. But I don't have any from my time, you know, it's, and so I don't, anyway, I don't feel like I have as much time to work, and yet it's all work. And I said not to talk too long, and I talk too long, so thank you. I'm done. Not really, but I'm done. Thanks for listening.
Well, I trust that you know the right way to be in this relationship in terms of what's needed and boundaries and the difference between negativity and abuse. So I trust that you can discern that.
I don't, it's a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're in the dance of that discernment. And then you're right, what you do with the energy afterwards is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And how long it's in that, in your time body, mm-hmm. in the moment that you've accumulated it, and then what happens for the next week or whatever the interim is when you see this person. That's very difficult though, Nicole. That's difficult.
I don't know how to work with it. I mean, hi, Bev. I know Byron and Katie, which I've done too. I do too, but thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I know it's my biggest teacher, and my husband is wrapped up in it too, and he's not part of the work, but I'm like, it's there for you too. It's, yeah. You know, you're here, it's there for you to learn from too. So,
right. Yeah. There's no mistakes and there's something happening here. It just isn't pretty.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Gay, please. Hi, Gay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said somebody else.
Just no, wait. You're up.
Okay. This week has been really interesting for me. And I think, you know, I'm basically alone most of the time. The enforced being at home has allowed a lot of things to come up for me that I had not even noticed before, and this week particularly. So one thing I wanted to mention was something that was said in our email, and a quote from Nicole was that resistance was a big part of this. A big mm-hmm. part of negative emotions is resisting what is. And I found that to be very true for me. And I find myself going back to Beryl Pogson's book a lot. She really speaks to me. And she said that one of the main causes of negative emotions is expectations.
Yes.
What's the word? Like my expectations of others or my expectations of myself mm-hmm. are what cause a lot of my negative emotions to arise. So I sat with that for a while and began to see the truth of that for myself. And on the same page as she says that in her book that I have, she has this interesting little chart of where negative emotions can arise. She says that the ones that are, for example, like little daily irritations, that if I just don't express those, that's the way to work with that. And then there's some that arise from the middle parts of center, and then there's some that arise from the deeper parts of centers, and that's what I That's what I am really working with. And it's kind of like JC said last week, that some of these negative emotions, like resentment particularly, mm-hmm. that come from, I might think of a person, an incident in my past, and realize that I'm still holding on to that resentment. And I don't seem to, I can let go of that resentment in the moment, and yet the next time that memory comes back, the resentment still seems to be there. So according to Pogson, she says those resentments that are so deep-seated, actually that live in the inner parts of sinners, that prayer is the only tool.
Yeah.
I really believe that. So rather than get discouraged about it, I just know that I can pray and that there is help.
Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth. In fact, we talked about that at the end of class, that there's also in the back of Simple Explanations, Nickel has a chart, and he says exactly what you just said. For very, very deep-seated resentments, hatreds, negativity that we don't even know where it comes from, that prayer is the only answer. And we have to turn it over and trust that it's being undone in its own way, in its own time. Absolutely. And the thing about expectations, the biggest expectation, I know that's so true for me, it will catch me, is I expect people to be different than they are. Over and over and over again.
I used the wrong word. It's not expectations that she used, it's requirements.
And that.
even closer to the truth for me.
Yes, that's right.
Requirements of myself and requirements of others.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that reminder. JC, please.
Well, the teaching last week on negative emotions being negating, I actually played around with pronouncing the word differently. I called them negative emotions, and that being resistance just opened up a profound shift in me. It was a beautiful reframe. Because I think I've sort of taken in some of my mother's self-deprecating guilt around, you know, gosh, if I wasn't such a bad person, I wouldn't have to do so much work, you know? Mm-hmm. And I talked last week about sort of this hard pan of eyes that feel like that's really me on some level, that's really me. And so for someone who's always felt this rebellious, like, I don't want to do anything that anyone tells me. So the idea that I'm going to bring myself under more laws to my false self is a very unpleasant idea.
Yeah.
And yet it's been exactly what, you know, really engaging with the homework every week and trying out the things has been. You know, there's a precision to the way the homework is presented in the Journey School that really wasn't there in the 10th Man School. Hmm. In the 10th Man School, you still had to kind of figure a lot of this stuff out on yourself. And so what I noticed is working with trying not to speak the negative emotions into someone else, practicing inner stop a lot and seeing that as a portal to self-remembering. And remembering my right not to be negative, those things continued to work on me this week. And I had a great deal of resistance to having to go out to Bandera for one more week of work and just like asking twice, do I really have to go? And my boss is like, yes, you really have to go. And when I just said, okay, I'm going, and I stopped resisting, and suddenly the negativity was gone.
Yeah.
And so over the last day and a half, really, there's been this profound softening of that level of hard pan. And when I read the email this morning about Real Eye, it's like, that is where those little shoots and plants coming through the hard pan I was speaking of, that's the feelers coming through from Real Eye. So that was, I'm very, very grateful for being able to hear old work ideas in new ways. So
Thank you. You remind me of something I read this week from David Hawkins, and it really helped me in what you're talking about, looking, feeling into the resistance, not necessarily the content of the resistance, but just feeling into the energy of it. He says, the content isn't important, just focus on the process of surrendering. It doesn't matter what the content is, just all of the energy and the will and the desire is in the surrendering. And I'll tell you, that changed something for me.
Yeah, thank you.
Because then I didn't have to, in whatever it was, I could just feel it coming up, like you're talking about, that resistance, feel it coming up, and then it was, please surrender. That's what I really want. I just want to surrender. It doesn't matter what this is. And then it just started to be a lot easier. Like you said, there was just this relaxation and I could just move on much more quickly. So I'm taking that as my new point in the work. It doesn't matter what it is. Just feel that resistance and let go. Just keep the energy pulling back, down and in. Thank you. Lori, please.
Hi. So the day after the homework was given, first thing in the morning, I couldn't sleep, and so I thought I would get up and walk the dog, which is what Tom usually does. And I was getting ready and kind of in the dark and he said, what's going on? And I said, I'm going to walk the dog, I didn't hear you. I'm going to walk the dog. And it's, I'm trying not to wake you is what is happening. And this is a kind of a vaudeville routine, a recurring thing that goes on in our house. He said, well, I couldn't hear you. I don't have my hearing aids. I know, because you're trying to sleep. And anyway, so, and I understand what you're saying about not needing to know the content, but because this was, it's a little thing, but it's recurring. And there, you talk about the energy, there was energy there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had a wish to understand what is the energy on that. And so I just really sat with it for a while about what I wonder, just wondering, what is this? And of course, it didn't take any time at all to realize that growing up, when people were shouting and raising their voice and speaking out, it could be dangerous. There was a possibility of danger. And so even you all and, say, speak up, we can't really hear you. And so much opened up for me. And one of the things that opened up was that moving center thing about my volume. It's just a moving center thing, what the volume is. But it was connected with a negative emotion of danger and a thought that something's wrong. And so like those things were stuck together. And just being able to see that, talk about more coming under more laws and freeing you up, it opened up the possibility that volume has nothing to do with all that other stuff. It's just volume. Mm-hmm. It's just being louder. And so it just felt like such a revelation to be able to, and I'm so grateful to you, Donald, for saying over and over again, it's the little things that can open up the door to understanding. And so that's mine.
So you healed your time body.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Tamara.
One second. Did it back up? Okay. It's interesting that what's up is resistance and not hearing someone. My daughter's in high school. And this morning, I was in the process of becoming the president of her booster club, the activity she's in, for the next 2 years. And I thought as a formality, I would just touch base with her. She said, absolutely not. But she was kidding. Come on, I have it all planned. And I didn't listen to her. I thought she was joking because I had it all planned and I knew what I was going to do. And I love the parents. And she said, no. And it reached a point she had to tell me, if you do this, I will quit. Mm. Okay, you have my attention. And I had to pull back and I had to really look at the eyes that are compensating, that want to be president of this booster club.
Yeah.
And what it would mean for me as a mom. And then I had to ask a serious question of these eyes, have a little inner dialogue. Whose activity is this? It's hers. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. If she wanted me to be, yes. If she doesn't want me to do it, what am I doing? And it was really hard to. And then I came back to her. Are you sure? You sure you don't want me to do it? Because I'll do it. I already have it. I said, no, I don't. And she explained why. And I don't need to go into the details. She explained to me articulately and sincerely why she does not think this is a good idea. And I said, I will respect that. Mm-hmm. And I'm blushing right now. You probably can't see. And I had to just all my plans, all my ideas of who I was going to be, mm-hmm. let it go. Okay. And she sat down and helped me write the email of telling them I'm not going to do it. And not in the email to put it all on her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for her to have it, her and I's relationship is more important. But I think it's interesting the eyes that were, quote, doing it for her. Mm-hmm. And I'm still blushing.
Yeah. It's all in the light, though.
Yeah.
You're witnessing what Father Thomas said in Christianity, motivation is everything. Yeah. Thank you. Jan, please.
Oh yeah, I don't have to do anything, do I? No. That was beautiful, Tamara. I love that. Hey, Pamela.
Hey.
So I've loved how these past weeks have built on each other. You know, first the multiplicity and really seeing those, you know, the hordes of them or the legion, and then looking at the negative eyes. And so what I've kind of focused on this week is how it'll start. You know, I'll notice my reactivity and I'll notice it typically in my body, of course. And then it seems like with a little bit of work, I can duck or I can, you know, whatever, and let it go around me and not like glob onto it. So I'm in the middle of this experience of, I don't know if it's a book, but I'm writing, you know, with some instructions. I'm writing this, you know, I mean, just what everybody wants, a story of my life, you know. Yay. But anyway, as an experience, I'm writing this and somebody told me it's going to be a book. So this just happened. So this afternoon I went to my sister's house and my cousins came over and we had lunch. And so they're all kind of talking about family. And we really had a really screwed up family. And since I'm in the middle of this, I'm like bathing in the muck of it. And of course, everybody's a multiplicity. So they've got their good side and they've got their bad side. So my sister and my cousin, they want to take this positive spin and put, oh yeah, we know my grandfather was da 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 da. And so I'm in the muck. And I noticed that all this physical stuff is happening inside of me. And so I just kind of dismissed myself and went inside. Well, first what happened is we talked about my mom and my cousin had these pictures and who wants this one? And I said, I really like that. And it's not like me to say, oh, I want the picture of my mother. You know, I don't give a shit, whatever. And so, I went inside and I felt all this reactivity and it was so familiar. And I've just, within the past year, done so much work around my sister. And it's like, I had this fear of it's going to be negative and I'm going to regress and I'm not going to be able to be with her. And I went in the house and I tried to take this picture of my mother, that I don't even care if I have, but I was trying to put it in my fanny pack. Well, the damn thing didn't fit. So I just, and it was like, it didn't fit. And when it didn't fit, I just felt myself letting go of all of that. It just wasn't important. It wasn't as important that they have my belief or I have their belief. And I just in that flash, it's not like I remembered the homework, but looking back, you know, that 2020 hindsight, I look back and I saw their multiplicity, you know, it was just like, oh yes, they too are a multiplicity, you know? Yes. My sister can wave the flag about, oh yes, you know, it feels like it's her, but I know it's me. You know, we get this little competitive thing about who had it worse or who had it best or whatever. And so it was just like I let go in that moment and it was so nice. It was just like, and then my sister came in and she goes, Janie, I'm so sorry. She said, I was like acting like a know-it-all. And I said, no sweat. And I really felt no sweat, you know? So I went from, you know, like a, I don't know, maybe an 8 reactive to it really was like nothing. So I like that. Yeah. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, please. Maybe Tracy Stevens.
Yes. Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. Just experiencing gratitude for all that's been shared and appreciation for Gay and her sharing around the teaching from Vera Toxin about the, you know, different ways of working with different eyes. And that's what I've been feeling into this week. Some eyes I just need to separate from, observe and non-identify some of the more superficial kind of, you know, petty annoyances that come along the day-to-day where there's not really much to it. It's really just observing that I have a preference that's gotten interrupted, or I'm just, my energy's low and I just don't have a lot to work with in terms of difficulties. So I can see, you know, a different way to be with those. But I also had a number of deeper things to work with this week, and my children are graduating. My twins are graduating from high school, and through all their major milestones, I've had this bittersweetness because as my youngest ones, it's a chapter that's closing for them and for me in each stage of their life as they went to kindergarten or left elementary school, and so there's always this tenderness and grief that comes up for me. And it's interesting, I can only feel it when I talk about it. I can't access the feelings very easily unless I'm talking about it, experiencing some sort of reminder of what's coming in an email or information about upcoming graduation events. And there's an amplification of those feelings with the crisis. And, you know, not being able to say goodbye in a way that we'd like for them to be able to say goodbye, and thank you in a way that we'd like for them to be able to have that. So I realized that this is, these are emotions that need to come up, and this is all here for my healing. And I am so grateful when I can feel those things. Because I am healing that through time, and even other things, maybe somewhere in between the petty annoyances and this deeper work of dealing with just painful emotions of, I had one yesterday of humiliation come up because I saw something in myself. I was trying to project the blame onto the other, and when I stopped and saw my part, I felt a sense of shame and humiliation. But there, what I found to be helpful was the welcoming prayer, not to get into a lot of talk around it in the head. Yeah. That wasn't useful. That's just going to build it up more. And feel it in the body. And I think you mentioned Hawkins earlier. I think his angle is more, you know, ask for more, lean in. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how fast it can move when I don't get in the way of that energy.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed the list of different ways to work with negative eyes and feeling into how some are more useful than others, depending on the eyes.
Right, how you can navigate it. When you were talking about the feelings that are difficult for you to feel unless you're talking about them, that's also a good place for the welcoming prayer, that as you can drop into them, it helps you be more present with those feelings that might be on the periphery. And in being more present with those, you're also more present with your kids as they're going through this unusual time at a threshold moment in their lives. Because as you just said, when you can drop into it, it almost can bring it up more at first. Mm-hmm. And that gets you in touch with what's going on in all three centers. But it's an experiment as well. But thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Okay, dear ones, let's move now to the topic of our email today. I'm going to share on screen about Real Eye. And as has already been brought up, it turns out we're all pregnant together, which is such a wonderful thing. We're a group of pregnant people who are intentionally birthing Real Eye into our bodies, into this planet, into these circumstances. And so what I'd like to do is just go over a little bit about what Real Eye is, some of the qualities of Real Eye, and then how does it manifest. And some of this I pulled from today's email, but some of this I also pulled from the glossary of the definition of Real Eye. So Real Eye is our real identity, the capital S self. The good news is it's innate, whole, permanent, rooted in God, in ultimate reality, free of content, and untouched by circumstances. It's our potential as divine human beings. Real Eye is another way of saying that we bear the image of God and that we can work towards restoring and embodying more the likeness to God. We can also say that Christ and Master and Kingdom of Heaven are other names for Real Eye. And G once said, behind essence lies Real Eye, and behind Real Eye lies God. So the qualities of real I include, and some of us may be experiencing these qualities at any given moment in time. They may be fleeting, but we may have the inner taste of them being possible in us. It includes the ground or essence of our being, a sense of immanence. And the more it moves to the forefront, we experience a unity of being. There's less of an experience of fragmentation and multiplicity. We feel our center of gravity in ourselves and not externally referenced in other people or circumstances, where we're not unduly affected by life, where we can be participate but be non-attached. And a quality of real I is that self-love has been drained, and love of God and love of neighbor is a way of being. And real I is unable to resent and hate. So how does it manifest? What is our part in this birth? It's uncovered and experienced through the consistent and practical work of self-observation, non-identification, and self-remembering. And as we do that basic work, imaginary I is drained of energy. We can see not I. The work also helps us, and we practice this every time we do Lectio Divina at the beginning of class. It helps us understand the Gospels differently as instructions for how to make essence active. It teaches us how to make contact with higher levels. And this is so important. The aim is not contact. The aim is contact. It's not about being good. And centering prayer nourishes essence and that muscle of non-attachment. So in that receptive, non-conceptual practice, we can just be, we can experience inner stillness, a quieting of the energies, a peace that surpasses understanding. The ever so gentle ways of just returning to our center and to God. So some of the things that we'll be asked to practice this week in terms of participating in the birth of real I is listening. Real I is the receptive intermediary apparatus that can hear higher centers. And one of my journey group members was just so fascinated with that receptive intermediary apparatus. But that's what we're building every time we consent, every time we remember to bring a work idea up to the point of incoming impressions. We're creating that receptive intermediary apparatus. Obedience. We come under more laws to come under fewer. We self-remember. And as we come under these more laws, we feel freer and less under the control, the sway, the temptation, the influence of the multiplicity. And finally, humility. When we realize we can't keep our aims, when we begin to apprehend our powerlessness, our nothingness, when we're on our knees, this can lead to self-remembering. When we come to those moments where all of our programs for happiness aren't working, And in the work, it says, nothingness attracts real I. How beautiful is that? Nothingness attracts real I. So this isn't about efforting. Something very different. It is about surrendering and yielding, listening, receiving, becoming still, waiting. I wanted to just read a description of real I that David Hawkins used that I think is so beautiful, and this is in the glossary. The self, capital S, is beyond, yet innate, in all form, timeless, without beginning or end, changeless, permanent, and immortal. Out of it arises awareness, consciousness, and an infinite condition of at-homeness. It is the ultimate subjectivity from which everyone's sense of I arises. The infinite reality does not even know itself as I, but as the very substrate of the capacity for such a statement. It is invisible and all present. In ordinary terms, it is more like a quality that is devoid of any innate content, but is capable of any content. It is the quality that makes experiencing or witnessing possible. The source of the self, capital S, is the reality of divinity. So that's the truth of who we are. That's why we are beautiful. That's why we are good. And I think that's why we've been all brought together in this configuration of the Journey School. So I'll stop sharing, and I just wonder if you have any reflections or comments before we share the homework for this coming week. Lauren, please.
I am grateful for being co-pregnant or communally pregnant, and I just wanted to express that.
Thank you. Me too. One of the questions I had for myself is, so why even talk about real I? It, for me at least, it's a theory. And as I pondered that, I realized that I need to know the good and the beautiful and the true. I need to know the truth of my being that was never told to me before. And that's what the teaching of real I does for me. It says there is something more than what you've been handed and what you've acquired. And that changes the purpose and role of every day for me. David, please.
you unmute? David Wallace? There we go. Hi, Anna.
Hello, it's Anna. When you were talking about real I, and you're talking about real I behind essence, and that's behind personality, and that's behind false personality, I was just having this visual because of the quarantine. Everyone's inside, and the layers of pollution, smog, started to disappear. And they were speaking about being able to see now water so clear in Venice, mm-hmm. that you can see these beautiful fish and horsefish, I forgot what they call, and jellyfish in the canals that has been so muckied. And for me, it's the reveal of that beauty. When we are still enough, it's almost like a message we get from this actual quarantine. It's like the whole world be still, and in that stillness, all the layers, like in centering prayer, disappear, and all we now see in nature is this beautiful, magnificent earth. So clear beneath when the smog of false self dissipate. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes, I love that. As you were talking, I was getting that visual itself. All of the muck is settling and there's nothing but clear beauty. And that's when the light shines through. And that's why there's no efforting. The effort is just that settling. Quieting down. And you're right, we've been invited into a deeper level of that settling more than ever. Thank you. Okay, friends, I'm going to share on screen our homework for this week with this beautiful image that we can carry with us. So practice listening, obedience, and humility by continuing the work to awaken from imaginary I, by observing, naming, and non-identifying with recurring I's and any negative emotions they represent. There's some parables that are mentioned in today's email, and there's links to the descriptions of what those parables are. And you're invited, if you wish, to try some of the ideas that are found in those parables and perhaps work with them for how they might reveal something in your journey. And to continue to work with devotion and delight. And just a note, this came up in my journey group. We were talking about how the last week's homework and working with negativity is homework that we could do for a very long time because it seems to be the crux of the matter. If at any time your point in the work is different than what we're offering as part of the homework each week, stay with your point in the work because it's different for all of us and we all have different seasons and different circumstances that are arising. So hold true to what's coming up for you. That's always the invitation. So thank you all. Bless you.
Thank you, Pamela. A closing word from Rodney Collin. What is it to be oneself? It means to be one's positive self. People say I was born with a bad temper. That's how I am, That is exactly not being oneself. To be means to be positive. To be negative means not to be. Negativeness, zero, a minus quantity by definition, is not. A positive force by its very nature gives out. To be ourselves, we must give. Give attention, give interest, give whatever we can at every moment. Then we are ourselves. We have being. And so it is. Let us join together and praying aloud wherever we are, the prayer of God's love. God's love has met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. And we close in prayer. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.